QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alright, I got a couple announcements here. A couple things here are pretty cool. The ARRL is starting in June. I believe they are going to start producing a digital copy of QST. If you're a member currently with the ARRL and you get this magazine every month, you will still get the magazine every month. So this will be also available online, and this is pretty cool news. They will be, they've already got this prepared and it's going to come online, an archive online of every issue of QST going back to 1915. This December. This will be in a group from 1915 to December all the way through to December of 2011, and then they'll start a new archive of January 2012. Let me reset. Of course, you have to be a member of the ARRL to access this, and if you are a member of the ARRL, just set up a login password, which is pretty easy to do. And then you're going to have all this information. Pretty incredible. Both the digital issue and the mailed issue will be available to members, I guess, concurrently there. Not sure if they're going to get rid of the mailed issue at this point in time. No mention about that. So pretty cool. Let me reset. Also, we've had a couple people out there checking in on echoing that seem to think our echoing volume's a little bit high. Not really sure what's causing that. However, I guess the audio signal's good, so all I can say is for right now, just turn the volume down on your end, right? I guess that'll work for the moment. Courtesy announcement for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. If you're a member of the club, you've got getting down to less than 2 weeks here away for the roster update, so please try to get your membership in, your dues for 2012. If you are not a member of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, we encourage you to join and help support the club as they support all the emergency functions up here. The repeater is a great repeater, but it needs support. So if you want to join our club, it's $20 a year, pretty cheap. Also gets you a couple of free meals up here. We have a picnic and field day, pretty cool. And a lot of other great activities we're trying to get going this year. So go to bbarc.org. And on that site, you'll find all the forms and everything and the addresses to mail off an app. So please do consider it and please join. All right. That's pretty much for the announcements tonight. Let's see, we're going to move on and call our brief roster and move ahead. Tonight we will be discussing an article in the new issue, just came out, of QST. We've all worked with ugly balans and coiled coax chokes and stuff like that. So we're going to look at that this evening. Pretty good article, two-pager, starts on page 61. Of the April QST for 2012.
AD6 Beagle.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
Yeah, before you get started, Tom, I'll just throw in, if you don't mind, throw in a quick announcement here for the Riverside Air Show.
Oh, please do. Yes, I used to hit that one every year. Go ahead, Harold. That's a great event coming up down there.
It's annual air show at the Riverside Airport on Arlington, between Adams and Van Buren. I'm sure most people are familiar where it's at. Admission is free. The date is Saturday the 31st, which is really to remember because it's the last day of this month. Starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and goes to 4 o'clock in the evening. They have all kinds of aerial stuff. They have static displays, a lot of military displays. Normally, according to what the dispersal is on those for emergency use at different places, but have usually several military flyovers. Parking is $10. The money does not go to the city of Riverside. It goes back into a fund to finance next year's air show. And that's all it goes for. It doesn't help pay for the mayor's vacation or the city council's beer run. And normally they are using Harvest Church's parking lot. And they have been having, I'm sure they will have, shuttles running back and forth so you don't have to try to walk that distance down there in case you have a health problem or something. 86 feel.
Yeah, Harold, I used to go to that quite often. We lived, before we moved up here to Sugarloaf, about 5 miles from there. They have the stealth, what's it, the F-119 does flybys. They've had B-2 bomber flybys. That's pretty cool. Stuff like that. And if I'm not mistaken, kind of like a pretty cool thing, if you've ever been up in a helicopter, you used to have a helicopter that would take people up too for not a cheap ride, but kind of cool. So pretty neat stuff there. So thanks, Harold. Appreciate that. And we can always chat about that in a little bit. Great event.
That's a good family event. They have no problems over there. There's no alcohol allowed. There's no drugs, no drunks. And if you cause trouble, they don't mess with you. They get you out of there. And I think they run an average of about 3 arrests, and that's usually at the gate. I guess some idiot wants to argue about taking his booze in with him, and they end up arresting him, haul him downtown, dump him off, lame walk home. So anybody that wants to, come on down, have a good time, and enjoy it. 86 feel.
Yeah, Team 62 here, Tech Tuesday Net and the group. Pretty cool, and just might want to mention too, I know this is one reason I missed it 1 year. We all assume air shows are Saturday and a Sunday. This is a 1 day only, I believe. It's only Saturday, so you got to make sure you're there on that day. No, they don't do an encore presentation on Sunday. And after you do all that, come on up to Big Bear Fire Station. We have our club meeting up there for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. And come on up and be a prospective member. Anyway, all right, let me reset and let's check real quick here. Is there any other announcements out there before I proceed? All right, moving on to our brief but great roster here. And first on the list I have here is Mike, WB6TLZ.
Evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CLZ, and you might call for announcements again. There was someone that doubled with you, I believe.
Okay, I did not hear that. Any announcements out there, please come back. Okay, not a problem. That can always be added in. Anybody out there who thinks of an announcement through the net, hey, jump on in there. Not a problem. All right, good deal there, Mike. Well, we got you checked in. How about WB6CIN, Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
All right, Cindy, you and Mike, glad to hear you out there. Sounding good. I do have one person checked in on Echolink, and I'm going to give him a chance to come in right now. That would be KA6ROD, Rod.
Good evening, everyone. I'm the mountain and off the mountain, KA6ROD.
Hey, Rod, thanks for having you out there. Thanks for checking in this evening, and let's move on ahead here. KA6CIA, George, are you out there in Lucerne Valley?
Yeah, I'm here. Good evening, Tom and Annette, KA6CIA.
Good evening, George. Hopefully the storm didn't do too much damage down there. I don't see Harry and Nancy in there, but we'll give Harry a quick call. KA6RJ? And nothing heard there. Moving on, we have KJ6HDS, Mike and Pontigan.
And Tom Lynette, KJ6HDS, no traffic.
Mike, take care out there. I hope the snow is melting as fast for you as it is for me. And yeah, shoveling is no fun. I agree with Kelly. Let's give your dad a check in here, K6EKX, if he's listening. And move on to WA6ITC. Rod, are you out there?
Yeah, from Mike Williams, WA6ITC. Good evening, everybody.
All right, Rod, thanks for being out there, listening in on the far eastern front. How about Red Wings here, KJ6FIL, Mike?
Good evening, everybody. KJ6FIL.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to send you an email. A little curious about that track configuration you did. Got a couple of questions, but we'll do that through emails or maybe after the net. Moving on down the list here, KJ6KDL, Jim.
I'm here, just finishing up a little office thing that fired up on me, but I'm listening.
Alrighty. Good deal. How about KJ6KDK?
Oh, this is KJ6KDK listening.
All right, Jim Rosemary, thanks for being out there. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Let's try W6GZI Frank. And nothing heard. I'm going to give a call out here. KI6IQA Kelly, but he did check in earlier. He was going to sit down with a dinner and his wife and family and a movie. So don't know if you're out there, Kelly. Give you a shot.
Good evening. KI6IQA.
All right, Kelly. Thanks a bunch for being out there. Appreciate that. Dedication. We're going to give a courtesy check-in for Ann, N6BOP, as she was on her way to the computer club meeting down there. K6GVL, Ron.
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. This is K6GVL, Ron from Torrance tonight.
Ron from Torrance. Well, you're hitting the repeater solid. Good signal. Wouldn't even have known that. So, fantastic. Appreciate you being out there. 86PL Harold from Riverside.
Evening, 86PL.
All right, Harold, thanks a bunch. I appreciate that announcement with that air show. That's a fantastic event. Great family event. K6LTS, Clint from Aruba Valley. Hey, don't hear him out there. Guy is very, very busy with his upcoming event. Flavo and Flavob, whatever, however you pronounce it. Tomato, tomato, potato, potato. But I know he's busy out there, and I'm sure he'll join us later if he can. Moving on down here, KJ6TYV, Dave from Sugarloaf.
Good evening, Tom. Everyone on the net. KJ6BYV. Back to net control.
All right, Dave. Thanks very much for joining us just about every week now. Fantastic. Moving on down here. K6YNW, Chris. Down here, Chris out there, and don't know if Chip's going to be out there. W6TOO. Chip, are you with us? Yeah, I think they both had a meeting at Desert Rapids this evening, so not a problem. I'm sure they'll join in later on. How about KD6LAN, Bill? And nothing heard. AE6TK, Victor. Okay, don't hear Victor out there. And Rod's already checked in here, KA6ROD. Rod, got you checked in. KB6LTY, Christy. Okay, nothing heard there. And let's give a shout here for AE6TV. Hans, are you listening in this evening? Okay, nothing heard, and that's pretty much the list as I have it. I've got all the other people on here that I intend to miss sometimes. Anybody else out there who would like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
K9AOG, Stephen in Long Beach.
6HB, Jerry in Bellflower.
K9AOG, Steve, glad to have you with us this evening. Appreciate that. And Bellflower, got you checked in here. Anybody else?
This is Kilo Juliet 6, Tango India Golf, Timothy here in Alhambra. Good evening, sir.
Glad to have you with us from Alhambra this evening. Anybody else? All right, we're going to move ahead. Anybody else out there listening, of course, can check in, ask questions, suggestions, or comments any point in time. Not a problem. Please go through net control. And that's how we operate here. I'd like to keep it open for everybody out there. All right, let's see, starting off the top here, let's go to the, we're going to go to the DX report here in just a second. Mike, can you give me a, I got a new thing here. Is that okay if I interject something here?
Yeah, we'll try to hang on. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, little thing here, and these are like little tips or little annoying little things that pop up when you start something up, little annoying tips. Well, this is one of them. All right, here we go. If you're out there, and a lot of us use computers this day and age for in conjunction with our computers, and if you're fortunate enough to have a flat screen, you don't have that big old CRT sitting on there, taking up all the space. If you should have an issue, your CRT goes dark, but the green light's on, and it just doesn't seem to do anything. Quite often, and I'm only throwing this out here for hams who are good with electronics, good with a soldering iron. Generally, there's a couple of capacitors inside that go bad, and sometimes it's the backlight. But either one of those two, very easy fix. Capacitors are usually less than $10 total to replace them all. Very common thing happening. They last, if you have one of those monitors that just goes dark or flickers or doesn't even come on, try to check that out with another monitor if you can. And if you don't, if it doesn't work for you, please don't throw it away. Don't give up. Generally an easy fix. Only for people who are used to working with this stuff, there are hazards involved. All right, well, let's see here. Moving right on up to our DX and sunspot activity solar announcement. Mike, back to you.
I don't know if we're going to be able to call it the DX report anymore or not. Things aren't that good. Had a little bit of trans-equatorial stuff going on in 10 meters over the weekend down South America quite a bit. But other than that, yeah, not a lot to talk about. But Space Weather Now is reporting a sunspot number of 58, which is kind of down there, and they're puny ones too, and a solar flux index of 102 solar flux units. There is an electron storm going on right now, according to Space Weather. Some of those energetic electrons, they call them, are highly elevated. And if you want more info, Cosmos, go to cosmosmagazines.com, and then they've got a news article about killer solar storms create killer electrons. They're talking about all of these electrons that are a little bit energetic negative particles. So anyway, interesting article. Won't go into it now, but let's see if anybody else has got any DX to talk about. Back to you, Tom, KF6Q and the Tech Tuesday group, WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, we try to cover here on Tech Tuesday a lot of stuff. Sometimes it's on the VHF spectrum, which is what we're on right now, and we like to also cover a lot of the HF spectrum. So DX, really cool stuff you can do out there with HF frequencies. If you're a tech licensed person, think about getting that that general upgrade and get out there on the HF bands and talk literally around the world. If that's not in your budget right now, Echolink, great thing. We're going to do probably a little quick brush over on that. We did that last week. Echolink's pretty cool. You can link through your computer. Not the same as working over the airwaves, but hey, it's a good alternative for right now, especially with the economy. So get you out there talking through other repeaters around the world. Anyway, anybody else out there with any other DX report, please come back to KF6Q. All right, hearing none. And Mike, I think we forgot to give Bob, WA6MQF, a wake-up call, but I know he's up here, but he's probably pretty busy shoveling snow off his EME antenna. All right, well, good deal. Clint is not out there right now. But looking at this, this is an article in the April issue. I just got mine today, 2012 of QST. QST is a magazine you will get if you belong to the ARRL, and it runs in the mid-30s for a membership per year, which is, the magazine is worth that in itself. Incredible information of electronics, radio, not real technical stuff, good tutorial stuff, good articles, and as like I just announced, they are now going to have the entire archive available of these issues going all the way back to 1915, December. Incredible stuff. That's good just for a history lesson. Let me reset. So think about being a member if you're not. If you are a member, this is great news. This is probably the best library for free, which comes with that membership. They also have a lot of articles for the public, incredible articles, so always want to look at that. Well, Mike, okay, this guy is calling this Experiment 111. What is that about?
Yes, Experiment 111. Well, that's anybody that's been listening to Tech Tuesday for a while will remember the ugly balun. We did a nice talk on ugly baluns. Basically the same thing. It is a common mode choke, and common mode chokes are used to fight RFI, isolate antennas from feed lines, and reduce RF current on the outside shield of your coax. But that's basic. We'll start there and give it back to you, Tom.
Oh, good deal. Yeah, and this is just the beginning here. This gentleman who writes for QST, Sam, call sign N0AX, and of course you can email him at n0ax@arrl.org. Experiment 111, he's actually got every issue he writes updating to another number. It's 111. I don't know if I read number one, but it's pretty cool. And he does stuff. All these guys in here write about things that are really easy to comprehend. And if you have no knowledge of electronics whatsoever, this is probably like the best starter thing. And it's month to month. There's so many different articles in here. Some will be a little more complex than others. Don't throw them away. Hang on to them. Or, of course, now, coming up, and I think that's starting in June this year, this archive will be going. So you're going to have access to probably one of the best libraries in the world. So, anyway, sorry about that, Mike. I want to give a little plug here for the ARRL. Let me reset. Yeah, anyway, this is basically a real simple item. Choke balance is what we always call it, or an ugly balance. Essentially, when we're working HF bands, whether we have some kind of great aluminum structure in the sky or a long wire, two of the very most popular types. Long wire is very popular because it's so economical. It literally is that big wire that you hang up there in the trees or the whatever you can mount it up to. But we have to run that back to our radio, and matching that up to our coax, we're going to run coax in at some point. We have a thing which you don't have to use, but if you don't, you're not going to get as great a signal or great balance and all that good stuff. It's basically a chunk of coax coiled up. Let me reset real quick. This would be, picture a giant, and I think they have this in the article here, your big, it used to be almost 3 pounds, now it's slightly less. They snuck that into a Folgers coffee can, a big plastic one, or Maxwell House, or whatever. Picture something about that diameter, or even as small as maybe a 3-inch piece of PVC or ABS pipe, winding coax around it in a coil, like you would coil up anything in line with each other, as next to each other. In other words, not one big glob, but next to each other. This is a coil, and what this will do is help balance your coax to the antenna. And Mike, did I forget something in that? Please come back.
Necessarily, but I will describe the description here of what a balance is, and what they say is any device that transfers differential mode signals between balanced and unbalanced systems while maintaining symmetrical signals, I can't even say it, in the balanced system. So basically, yeah, that's what it does, is it allows you to be able to properly propagate your signals out there and give the transmitter a little bit of what it likes, and also do the same on the antenna end.
Yeah, that's a mouthful, and I think he says that in the article. And I'd have to probably read that over a few times to get that right. But anyway, essentially, you have to look at coax. Coax has, if you ever cut a coax open, it's got that protective outer covering, and you've got a shield, kind of like a wire mesh shield. And then there's more plastic, then there's a center wire in the middle. Well, in radio, we're using both those conductors to get that signal out there. The outer shield, generally at the radio, down here, on the ground level, not up there in the air, is connected to ground, literally. It's grounded like that third terminal in your outlet. Basically, it's not really, the power essentially would be going through the middle conductor, and the outer is ground. Now, with electricity, that's real easy to comprehend. RF, actually, both are being used. But that outer shield, besides being grounded, also keeps other interference, or you can bring this close to something and it won't interfere, like a tree or a metal structure or something like that. But when we get up to the antenna, antennas like to see something quite different. They want to see both conductors isolated. neither one of them being grounded, which is really what this Balun does. It kind of, it's like a little converter thing in between the coax and the antenna. And Mike, I'm going to hand it over to you, and tell us what we have here. We have something really weird called voltage and current balance. What is that?
Well, there are two different types of Balun. One is a voltage and one is a current. Generally, with what we're using it for, generally dipoles and antennas, you try to use a current Balun. Voltage Balun develop equal voltage at the Balun terminals, and current Balun develop equal current. Both have equal impedances, and if they're properly terminated, you'll have equal voltage and equal currents, and everything will balance out. Hopefully that gets us where we're headed.
Right. Well, for the most part, you're going to hear people refer to a Balun or an ugly Balun or a choke Balun or whatever it is. You'll just hear it referred to as that. And what we try to do, number one, with our antennas, we try to have our antenna up in the air set or tuned itself, or adjusted, as they say, to the point it's where it has this 50 ohm impedance. Now, what that means, the 50 ohm impedance is not that critical for tonight, but you also have 50 ohm impedance with the coax and with your radio and everything else. So because those impedances, hopefully, and we say hopefully, are the same, Mike, what I think they're saying here too is that no matter whether it's a voltage or current Balun, because of the Ohm's law application here in RF, as it works too, basically either one, the choke Balun, the current Balun, are going to be doing the same thing because it's the same impedance in and out. So a lot of that kind of technicality goes away if you're feeding a 50 ohm input impedance antenna, and you've got a 50 ohm radio and you've got 50 ohm coax. Good to know that term, but a lot of it will be, they'll be equal. Equal voltage, a voltage Balun and balance is going to be the same. Will create a balanced current. The balanced current will create a balanced voltage. Let me reset. Anyway, so we want to make sure we have the equal currents that will flow into the antenna terminals. We want to make sure that, you know, everything is symmetrical. So this is what we're looking at here. Anyway, we're going to move on down here, Mike, and we're going to say, well, at one point, where would an antenna, why would it not have equal impedances at its two terminals? Now, we're looking at an antenna up there. It's not a single wire. It might have two wires brought together in the middle, or it could be a single wire. And the other wire going to the antenna is just hanging there, really. That would be like a inverted L, or a straight wire, or what they call random length. But we have something like, even the antenna itself is either going to be balanced or not. Is that what we're going here? Is that what they're saying? Like, why would we not have a balanced load? I think that's what they're looking at. Back to you, Mike.
Hopefully you understand that more than I do, because they're talking about a third wire too. Maybe you can explain that to me, and I'm sure somebody else out there is a little bit perplexed about that. I don't understand how they're trying to describe that as a third wire. They say the function of the current Balun is to disconnect the third wire while forcing equal currents into the actual antenna terminals. And then they give another article that describes that, but naturally we don't have that in front of us. But maybe you can enlighten us on that subject.
Well, without going into great detail there, I guess we could look at it as this. Let's say we have, we're going to say a tower or some kind of, I'll just say a tower. We have a tower up there. On the top of that tower, and isolated from that tower, we have our, let's say, we're right in the middle of a split dipole. We have a wire going in both directions away from that tower. With that in itself, we have, we want to feed that antenna with two wires, basically. If we have a open window line type feed line, that's not a problem. and I'm not sure if this is what they're saying here, because this is actually the first time I've heard of the third wire. We are, actually, what we have there is we have the tower itself is ground, or grounded. So we have the two hot wires. We actually have two hot wires. If you're any way involved with electricity and household or whatever, we have a neutral wire and we have a hot wire. And then we also have a ground wire. Well, the ground and the neutral are actually connected at the same point, your panel. And actually, that's why, and I do not recommend this, but if one was to brush up against or touch by accident, say the neutral wire, most likely you would not get shocked, because if it's wired normally the way they are, the neutral and the ground are the same. And in a sense, this is what we have, a coax. Let me reset. Coax, we have the hot wire in the middle, and the outside, which is also carrying signal with as a pair of wires, just like electricity does in a house. We have that outside is also grounded. Now, when we get up to the antenna, we have two hot legs up there, put it that way, of the antenna. So we have two hot wires, and the third wire, we have a ground. So somewhere in there, we have to get rid of, we have this issue of that third wire. And Mike, I think, I'm not sure if I've nailed it with that, but this is what I'm looking at here. Back to you real quick.
I kind of think that's what they're talking about, Tom, and I think they're talking about isolating that. So, I don't know. I've just never heard it to be described that way. So, yeah, we'll have to read that a little bit more closely. But, yeah, I believe that that's what they're talking about, is isolating the ground from the radiator.
This is KF6Q with Mike and the group here on Tech Tuesday, the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, every Tuesday, 1900 hours, if we can. You know, and this is where, you know, obviously if we ground our RF signal, we're not going to have any RF. We're going to be talking to the gophers and possibly anything else that lives subterranean. But, and that's why... you know, this is important to have something grounded like that, the coax being itself, that outer shield grounded, helps keep it isolated. So we don't have to worry about, oh, wait a minute, my coax is too close to this metal over here. Or, wait a minute, oh, my coax is close to that tree. By using coax, we don't have to worry about that. But when we get to the antenna, that becomes an issue, because the antenna wants to see as much as it can. If you did not use a balun, yes, your radio will work. Yes, you will transmit. You're going to get a little bit of what we call RF feedback on the outside of the coax, possibly a little interference here and there. In other words, things aren't going to work as good. So what this coax balun will do, or this choke, it kind of makes everything work better. You know, kind of like... if you had a three-prong plug going into a two-prong outlet, you're strong enough, you will fit that in there. But it'll work better if one is made for the other. Back to you, Mike.
We just clip the darn thing off and put it in anyway. Not likely. Yeah, gotcha, Tom. Okay, well, that makes sense. And yes, it definitely does, from experience, make a big difference. All the wire antennas we have at both QTHs are run through balance or ugly balance or coiled coax chokes such as this, and definitely works a lot better than just fed straight in. Back to you, Tom.
Well, anyway, the coax balun is really kind of a handy do-it-yourself ham thing. And like I said, if you go to any of the great radio, let's see, there's ham outlets, there's AES, there's HRO, there's a list mile long. You can buy a balun, perfectly fine, already done, ready to go. One end of it will have a couple of terminals to connect to your antenna. The other end will have, it's usually an SO239 connector for your coax, and you're good to go. And they're not real expensive, but they're not cheap. It's kind of cool. Coax, I think, works as kind of a do-it-yourselfer thing, because a lot of hams have a lot of coax. It's kind of like a lot of carpenters have wood laying around, a lot of plumbers have extra pipe. We're hams. We have extra coax. Well, we'd like to sometimes anyway. So this is kind of a cool thing for using some of that extra coax and producing this. And essentially, I mean, I'm looking at this article. They have, and how, okay, well, you know, it's just, this is a good balance thing. And what it amounts to is this. Let me reset. And we've used a lot of these. Mike, you have one. I have one over here. I think we have a lot of hams out there. Just taking this coax and coiling it up around something. And hams are very innovative. I'm looking at one here that's coiled around in a big plastic peanut jar, peanut butter jar. And I think it still has some peanut butter in it. Doesn't look like they cleaned it out that well. Or like we're saying there, an old, big old coffee, plastic coffee can. You don't want to wind this thing around any metal. I'm not sure that would work very well. PVC pipe of the diameter of, say, 3 inches to 6 inches is great. If you had some of this 12-inch, great, huge irrigational stuff, yeah, that would work too. The whole thing is we're making a coil out of this coax. And as you change the diameter, yeah, it's going to change a little bit of what we have there. The best way to do it is to figure, say, well, I'm going to need 15, 16 feet, depending on the frequency band, maybe up to 22 feet of coax. I'm going to coil it up, and whatever I coil it on, I got to use up all this coax. And if you're in that range from 16 feet to 20 feet of coax used up, it'll work. Put a PL connector on one end or run it right down to your radio. On the other end, you can actually split that apart, you know, and right up to your antenna. And Mike, you have one that you use on both houses, right?
We use the coiled coax up there on the ZS6. I don't have a ZS6 down here. So we use that on the ZS6. We have a 4-to-1 current ballon W2AU, I believe it is, that we use on both the loops down here and the loops up in Big Bear. So, yeah, I only have one, and it works really well on the ZS6. And if anybody wants to see a description of how to build that, just type in ugly ballon on your browser, and it'll come up, and there's several different good examples. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, I just want to point out one thing here, Mike, and to everybody out there, is that this is not rocket science. This is not critical of how much wire. I know people out there up here on the hill basically messed up, thought he had it right, and he's got like 16 feet of coax wrapped up in a coil. It is beautiful. He found out that he was supposed to have 22 feet or 18 feet. Problem is, the 16 feet was doing just perfectly fine and still is today. So it's really, you're going to read a lot of stuff out there that you're supposed to have that. If you have somewhere in the realm of about 16 feet as a starter, that's going to work. If you have 22 feet, that's going to work. If you have 18 feet, that's going to work. This is not real rocket science, and we're not going to get into the electronics calcs on that, why they all work, but the longer wire, the longer amount of coax will work better if you're working down at 160 meter band. The 16 feet will work really fine, 80 meters and up, and not a problem. So it's not that critical. Let me reset. Biggest thing is just, you know, be inventive and check out what you got there. Don't worry about having all the right parts and all the right stuff. There's a lot of do-it-yourself stuff here, and pretty easy to do. And if you're working on HF, and if you simply got your coax going straight up to the antenna and just locking it, if there is no ballon up there, this will help you out. This will actually get you better. You'll get out better. You'll receive better. It works both ways, and pretty fantastic, simple thing. Really glad they put this in this article. It's April 2012. You can buy QST at a lot of the electronics-oriented stores. if you're not a member of the ARL, and highly recommend, you know, joining. So anyway, Mike, pretty cool stuff. I think this is probably the one simplest thing that we can build. Back to you real quick. Any other comments?
I'll give you the flip side. Well, the basic cost of that is really the cost of the coax. So, you know, whatever the Ugly Ballon recommends, what, 16 to 21, or 18 to 21 feet. I came in at 20, and that's the cost. The flip side, I just built an Elecraft BL2. It's a wideband ballast. It's a toroid with a couple of feet of wire in it. It switches between 1-to-1 and 4-to-1. Well, I'm getting that set up for my little QRP operation. And nice little rig, ballon, but I mean about four times the cost of what the other one would be, and basically does the same thing. I mean, it's switchable, it's this and that, but basically you're doing exactly the same thing as any commercial ballast.
Yeah, Mike, just as a ballpark number, I don't even remember, what do those ballons run now at our local, which is always not local, ham radio outlet? Oh, wait a minute, that's a company. what does it run for? I mean, the 1-to-1 or 4-to-1, what are they running approximately?
If you're lucky, you can pick one up for 20, 30 bucks, usually around the $30 range. The Elecraft stuff's always a little pricier, and you have to buy a case for it because it's a circuit board. But yeah, you know, definitely under 50 bucks for the one that you can buy over HRO.
So, you know, there is a lot of price variance here, and like I said, if you're going to buy coax runs anywhere from $1 a foot to 33 cents a foot. If it's a RG8X, something like that, there's a lot of different prices on stuff out there, and the prices vary. Also, you can do a toroid ballon, which is not what we're going to cover tonight. A couple companies there, Palomar, Amadon, buying your own stuff. Obviously, if you go out and buy the components, yes, you are probably going to actually build one cheaper. The labor, it's your own labor, it's free. You have to donate your own labor. But you're going to save yourself some money. And a lot of times, the good thing about this coax ballon is that's all you got is coax. I have even heard of people using RG59. A lot of that running around used to be really cool for cable TV setup stuff in the house, 75 ohm stuff, and people are using that, and it still works fine. Yeah, a little mismatch here and there, but basically the ballon is doing what it's supposed to do. And you can hook 50 to 75 ohm, and if you do it in the right numbers, it's actually going to help you. So, well, anyway, Mike, we're going to, you know, kind of wrap this up, and I don't know if we've helped anybody out there, but I would say in the first place here, please look at that article in ARL. Mike, anything to add as we wrap this up?
Topic, and ignore that I call them ballasts, they're ballons. I'm in the wrong trade here. Anyway, yeah, good topic tonight. If anybody has run a wire antenna without a ballast, they will know the difference when they add a ballast, especially if you get a little snap on your nose from the microphone or something like that. That's what we used to get in the olden days. Okay, yeah, good topic, good Tech Tuesday. Back to you, Tom.
Little example here, and this was going back 2-3 years ago, was a gentleman I talked to in Torrance area, and had a house, had a 40 meter antenna, wire antenna. Well, what is that? Well, that's a wire that's about 60 feet long, and that's all he could do. Ran it around on the ridge of his house, and broke it in the middle, and that was his antenna. I think he did it on the inside, of course, keep it out of the rain. And he had his issue was is that when he hooked this all up and got it all running, when he was talking on 40 meters, he was also talking over the household stereo and a couple other things in the house. And I guess this really was not working good. all he had to do, he added a ballon in there, recommended that he did that. He did not have that. So he was getting a lot of what we call spurious radiation coming down the back outside of the coax, beyond our topic tonight. And just by a simple store-bought ballon, everything went away. All of a sudden, his range got better and his antenna and everything. So this little tiny thing can help. And if you can build it yourself, it's a great add. Anybody out there, any comments or questions on this, please come back to KF6Q. All right, well, I don't hear anything out there, but what we will be doing here is we'll be closing down the net, and but I will stay here for a little bit if there's anybody who thinks of something here in the next few minutes. Whether it's this topic or anything related, not an issue. Well, Mike, thanks for helping me out tonight. Appreciate that. And anybody out there, if you have more questions or any questions regarding this, please email me, KF6Q, Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec. That's KF6Q at ARRL.net. And Mike's got his call sign also, WB6CLZ at ARRL.net. Between the two of us, we'll give you a hand, help you out as much as we can, steer you in the right direction. Anything, Mike, as we're getting ready to close, last chance.
I think I'll go back in my hole and listen here for a while, and great Tech Tuesday, as I said. Nothing to add. WB6CLZ, everybody have a good evening.
Okay, Mike, appreciate you helping out there, and thanks a bunch for what you do out here every Tuesday to help us out. All right, well, QST, 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 and I am Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net, and we'll be closing the net tonight at 1900 hours and 51 minutes, coordinated with Fort Collins, Colorado, by the way. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening in, really appreciate that. Join us again next week. We always try to have something out there that'll help any of the hams out there, especially if you're moving into HF or stuff like that. A lot of stuff out there to learn. And we will now return the repeater to normal or abnormal use, whatever it is. Hopefully normal use. KF6Q.